On June the 6th, 2015, Catherine Chappelle, it's C-H-A-P-P-E-L-L, was attacked and killed by a lion in a park in South Africa. The circumstances of her death are as follows. She was in her car, and on the passenger side of her car, out a little ways, was a group of lions. She had rolled the passenger window down for just an instant in order to take this photograph and then roll her window up. But when Catherine lowered the window on the passenger side to just briefly take this picture, unknowance to her, standing over out of her sight on the passenger side was a lion. And when her passenger window came down, this lion lunged into the window, and Catherine Chappelle died on the scene from the injuries that she sustained. What makes her death even more tragic is that in this park, every few feet, there are warning signs that are posted everywhere. Remain in your vehicle. Warning, do not leave your automobile. Warning, keep your windows up completely. Signs that read danger, the lions can be dangerous. But for one instant in time, Catherine Chappelle ignored the warnings. And in ignoring those warnings, she lost her life. Brethren, tonight, our great verse of the Bible stands out as one of the great warning signs in Scripture. It is a verse that alerts us to the fact that there is potentially great danger for your life and for mine. It is a verse that alerts us to the fact that here is a warning, here is danger. You have to be careful here. And brethren, this is not a warning that we want to ignore. Our great verse of the Bible. Turn with me tonight to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. And we take a look at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. In this verse of great warning, I want you to see with me tonight three very important truths. First, this great verse speaks to us about the reality of the devil. The reality of the devil. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. Peter speaks here of the reality of the devil. The devil is real. I said the devil is real. Now, in a culture that denies the very existence of God, the devil in our culture has become little more than the punchline of a joke. But the Bible never jokes about the devil. The Bible never ever describes the devil as just merely being an influence that affects us. But when the Bible describes the devil, the Bible describes the devil using personal pronouns. The Bible says he. The Bible says him. The Bible says I. Brethren, we have to understand this. We have to understand the reality of the devil. The devil is real, and the Bible describes him not as an influence and not as a thing and not as an it, but as a he. Now let's look at this. In Job chapter 1, God speaks of the reality of the devil. In Job 1, God Almighty Himself is in a discussion with the devil. God speaks of the reality of the devil. Jesus speaks of the reality of the devil. In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 41, Jesus says that hell has been prepared for the devil, now listen to it, for the devil and his angels, not its angels, not that thing's angels. But the devil and his angels. Jesus speaks of the reality of the devil. The Apostle Paul speaks of the reality of the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, Paul says that sometimes that Satan will appear as an angel of light. What does that mean? That means that sometimes with the devil, what you see is not what you're going to get. The Apostle Peter speaks of the reality of the devil. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, our text, your adversary, the devil. James speaks speaks of the reality of the devil. In James 4 and in verse 7, James says, resist him, not it, him. Not that thing, him. Resist him, and he will flee from you. Jude speaks of the reality of the devil. Jude says in verse 9 of his one chapter book that the archangel Michael and that the devil disputed over the body of Moses. John the apostle speaks of the reality of the devil. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, John says the dragon, which is that old serpent that we call the devil, Satan. Now, brethren, put it together. God speaks of the reality of the devil. Jesus says the devil is real. The Apostle Paul says the devil is real. The Apostle Peter says the devil is real. The Apostle John says the devil is real. James says the devil is real. Jude says the devil is real. Now, how am I going to stand here and tell you the devil isn't real? The reality of the devil. Jesus was in a direct conflict with the devil. Jesus was baptized by the baptizer in the Jordan. After his baptism, Jesus began his public ministry. But between his baptism and his public ministry, there was one thing that took place, and that was Jesus being led into the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days, Jesus was in direct opposition with a real devil. And if you and I live for God, you and I are going to get in some direct operation and in some direct conflict with the devil and his cohorts. The reality of the devil. And if you walk around and think all he is a punchline, you already in his pocket. And if you walk around and think, well, he's just a mere influence. Listen, God didn't think that. Why would you think that? So number one, the reality of the devil. He's real. He's as real as you are. He's as real as I am. He's as real as this building is real. Note number two. Note from our great verse of the Bible here, not only the reality of the devil, but secondly, I want you to notice this. I want you to take note of the danger that is posed by the devil. The danger that is posed by the devil. Some time ago, in the last couple months, there had been a power outage, and I'm standing on the sidewalk, and I'm watching this guy restore this power. And this electrical line is just dancing. And what grabbed my attention was how calm this man was. He just very calmly took control of that electricity, this enough voltage in that to kill him in less than an instant. But he just very calmly took control of it, hooked it all up, got it all right, snapped the thing, it popped, juice came on, and I'm telling you, he was as calm as he could be. So when he got finished, I went over there and had a conversation with him. I am known to do that. My wife is known to walk off from me when these things happen. But I told him, I said, Mister, I said, I couldn't help but notice how calm you were with this. And he looked up at me and he said, Mister, the very first thing you do with that electricity is that you respect it. And if you will respect its danger, then you can go about your business. Brethren, listen to me. The devil is dangerous. And you had better respect his potential for danger. Now, let's think about this danger. In 1 Peter 5 and in verse 8, Peter describes the danger as calling him our adversary. The one who's trying to get us the opposite of what God wants us to do. Peter refers to his danger as calling him the devil, the slander. He lies to us to deceive us to get us to walk away from God. In Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 19, Jesus refers to him as the evil one. Brethren, the devil is totally corrupt. There isn't one thing about him that is not evil to its very core. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 4, Paul said that the devil will blind the eyes of people so that they cannot hear or understand the gospel. The devil is trying to blind the world from the truth of God's word. Now, let me show you something quickly. You're holding 1 Peter 5. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. Let me show you how John describes the danger of the devil. In Revelation chapter 9 and in verse 11, John says, they have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. He's talking about the devil. His name, that is the name of the devil, in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in the Greek, it is Apollyon. Those two words in Hebrew and in Greek are two words that mean the destroyer. John says the devil is the destroyer. What is he depicting? He is depicting his danger. Now watch this. John says he is the destroyer. Now, in John's gospel, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. Who is the thief in John 10:10? It is the devil. What does the devil come to do? The devil comes to steal, the devil comes to kill, and the devil comes to destroy. Listen to me. The devil is trying to get you to do what God, he's trying to get you to do something different, the opposite of what God is wanting you to do. The devil is the evil one. The devil is trying to blind you from the truth of the gospel. The devil wants to steal from you. The devil wants to kill you. The devil wants to destroy you because he is the destroyer. You need to understand, not only is our enemy very real, but you need to understand the danger that he poses you. Now, brethren, if you ignore his danger, and if you decide you want to play with him, you are not going to survive his onslaught. Hell was originally prepared for the devil and his messengers. But if you play with him, you're going to hell too. That's as plain as I can say that. The reality of the devil. The danger that the devil poses to you and that the devil poses to me. Note thirdly in this verse, 1 Peter 5:8, note the need for awareness. He is real. The danger that he poses is great. It is, in fact, an eternal danger. And because of that, there is a need on our part to be aware. Now look at verse 8. Peter uses two terms to describe how we should be aware of him. The first thing he says is be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. That means to be well-balanced. It means to be self-controlled. Now, if you hear this carefully, because this is where we can trip. God will care for us. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will care for us, but we must be spiritually balanced anyway. I don't know what to say to get you to listen to this. But if I knew what to say to get you to listen to this, I'd say it right here. If you are going to deal with the devil, you have got to be mentally and spiritually under control. Sober-minded. That's well-balanced. That's self-control. That means that mentally and that spiritually, I must keep control and balance of myself. It doesn't matter how much God's going to care for me if I'm out there in left field somewhere mentally and spiritually with this. Now, Let's go a step further. Anything that affects your faith puts you in a vulnerable position spiritually. Now, wait a minute. Not just anything bad that affects your faith. It might be something good that affects your faith. But whatever it is in your life, that affects your faith, when it is affected by, I don't care what it is, at that moment, you are vulnerable to the enemy. Now, I'm going to show you something. Turn to Matthew 13. Let me show you something. In Matthew 13, Jesus gives the parable of the sower. The seed is the Word of God, the sower is the one who is teaching or preaching, and the different soils represent the different hearts of people who are hearing, who are listening, and receiving the seed, which is the Word of God. Look at verse 7. Here's one of the soils, verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choke them. So Jesus tells the parables. The disciples bless their heart. I love them. Because a lot of them were just as ignorant as I am. So when he tells it, they said, Lord, that's great. This is terrific. What were you talking about? Drive to verse 22, he explains, verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and it proves unfruitful. Do you know that you can allow yourself to get so caught up in the cares of this world that it will choke the Word of God out of you? Now, I thought this was interesting, and so I spent the afternoon, and I'm not going to share all of it with you because that'd be just way too long, but I spent the afternoon just studying that one word, care. The care of this world. That word care means being pulled in different directions, and that's what life does to all of us. Well, you got to go over here. No, hey, over here. Wait a minute. I got to go over here. It means being pulled in different directions. It especially has reference to anxious cares. Listen, this is talking about just the day-to-day duties and cares and anxieties and activities in life. And you can get yourself in a situation to where you allow these ordinary, everyday cares of life to put you in a position to where you become vulnerable in your faith. And when you do that, the real, live, walking, talking devil will take you out of your faith. If the devil can't get you to do something ungodly, evil, to get you away from God, he'll gladly just let you run all over like a chicken with your head cut off and take you away from God. I'm telling you. Everybody in here knows people who are going in 47 directions every day. Now, what I'm telling you is you better be careful about that. Because the cares of this world, the devil can use them to choke your faith from you. The devil is real. He poses a real danger, and you had better respect that danger. So we need to be, there needs to be a spirit of awareness. So I need to be sober-minded. Yes, I have assurance. Yes, I'm God's child. Yes, God's going to take care of me. But I have got to keep both eyes wide open. Now, the second word that Peter uses, I don't know about you, I'm having a blast. Just thought I'd drop that. The second word that Peter uses, look what he says, is he says, be watchful. So I not only need to be mentally and spiritually well balanced and self-control. Okay, here I am. God loves me, but I still can't act a fool. So then, Peter's second word about it is he says, be watchful. That means be on the alert. Be on the alert. Remember the last night of our Lord's life in the garden? He took Peter, James, and John with him deeper into the garden. And he told them, you guys stay here, you pray, I'm going over here. And when he came back, what were they doing? They're sleeping. They're doing what some of you doing. They're sleeping. In Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 41, Jesus says to watch and pray. Peter says here, be watchful. Jesus told the disciples, you better pray and you better watch. You know what that means? That means that if we're not careful, listen, that means we can be careless in our relationship with God. That's what that means. I have to be well balanced here. I have no doubt that God loves me, but I still got to be in control here. And I have to be watchful. I have to be on the alert. Because if I'm not sober-minded and if I'm not watchful, I can get careless in my relationship with God. And if I get careless in my relationship with God, the devil will gulp me. So we have to be watchful. Quickly, let me suggest we have to be watchful of our thoughts. Our thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, Paul says, you bring every thought into to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We have to keep our thoughts. We have to be watchful over our thoughts because our thoughts can start running wild. We not only have to be watchful of our thoughts, we have to be watchful of what we say, our words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 to 37. Every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. If you're not watchful of your words can cost you your soul. We need to be watchful of our thoughts. We need to be watchful of our words. And brethren, we need to be watchful of how we live. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul said we must live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here is the great verse of the Bible tonight. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's real. He's dangerous. And you and I have to live with an awareness of being sober-minded and of being watchful. Because if we don't, we can be devoured by the evil one. Tonight we extend an invitation. If you're here and if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel. As most of us have done that this evening, if you're here and if you haven't lived a life worthy of the gospel, you know that if it's you, then you need to do something about that. You need to do something about that. And the longer you wait to do something about that, the more the slanderer will deceive and lie to you to keep you away from God. So tonight we extend the invitation. If you need to respond, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.